The following podcast is for information purposes only and should not be considered as a substitute for psychotherapy with a trained mental health professional.
Rational Radio.
Welcome to Rational Radio. I'm your host, Micah Perkins. Today we're going to talk about the ABC model of rational emotive behavior therapy. We'll also give specific examples of how to use the ABC model. Last, I'll give a commentary on my thoughts of the ABC model and how I use it in psychotherapy. Welcome to Rational Radio. It's good to be back. Before we start talking about the ABC model of REBT, I want to first express my excitement that the REBT community continues to grow and develop. Recently, on the REBT-CBT forum, which is the list server on Yahoo, we reached 500 members. Whenever I first started the REBT-CBT forum back 3 or 4 years ago, I had no idea that we would end up having 500 members only a few years later. If you haven't yet got involved in the REBT-CBT forum, I really want to encourage you to go check it out. It's a good way to be able to connect with other people which are excited about these concepts and which are trying to apply these to their lives. We have some really good REBTers on there that give some really good insight. I learn stuff from them daily. So if you haven't yet got involved with that, I really want to encourage you to go and enjoy that group. You can either go to Yahoo, go to their groups page and click in REBT-CBT forum, and it'll come up that way. Or you can go to my website, rbt-cbt.net, and there's a link there on the rbt-cbt forum. Today we're going to talk about the ABC model of rational emotive behavior therapy. Dr. Ellis presented the ABC model in the early 1950s as a way to explain his concepts of psychotherapy. So briefly, I'm going to go discuss what each of the ABCs stand for, and then I'm going to go back and explain those things in more detail. Then last, I'm going to give a commentary on my thoughts of the ABC model and how I apply that in my psychotherapy practice. So the ABC model first consists of actually the letter G, which stands for goals. A is adversity, or an activating event, which blocks us from achieving our goal. B stands for belief. C stands for consequence, and that's both emotional consequence and behavioral consequence. D stands for disputing, and then E stands for new effect, and that's our effective new philosophy, which is our new belief, feelings, which are healthy feelings as opposed to unhealthy feelings, and behavior, which is self-helping rather than self-defeating. The ABC model has undergone a revision since the early 1950s when Ellis first presented it. The version that I'm going to discuss with you today, I believe, is the most up-to-date version. I got it from one of Ellis's 2001 works, which is called Overcoming Destructive Beliefs, Feelings, and Behaviors. I believe that this is the version that if you went to the Albert Ellis Institute today and discussed with the REBT therapist, that they would discuss with you. Also, they have a self-help form which outlines the ABC model, and I believe this is congruent with that self-help form. So A stands for the activating event or the adversity. It's what triggers the self-defeating beliefs. It can be an actual event. It can be an internal event such as a thought, memory, or bodily sensation. Or it can be an inference about an event. Ellis has said that critics have often misunderstood REBT and thought that by A's it's referring merely to external stimuli. Actually, A's can be anything the individual is capable of contemplating. Anything that subsequent B's can be activated by, resulting in subsequent C's. Thus, A can be anything from your past that is realistically or distortedly stored in your memory system. A's can be anything from your current experience. And A's can also be anything from your fantasized future. So as we said before, it can be an actual event. It can be a thought, a memory, a bodily sensation, or an inference about an event. It's important whenever we're exploring the A that we ferret out what is it specifically that is triggering the belief. And this is what Dryden calls the critical A. So for example, if someone says, I'm feeling very sad, feeling very depressed. Okay, well, what happened that triggered you to start feeling very depressed? And if they said, I had a fight with my mother. Well, it would then be important to try to find out more details and to figure out what specifically was it about that fight that then contributes to their depression. In asking more questions, what was it about the fight? Well, my mom was yelling at me. Okay, well, is that what really led to you feeling depressed? Well, no, my mom yells at me all the time. Okay, so that's not it. What else could it be? Well, my mom was throwing pots and pans around the room. Well, was that what contributed to you feeling depressed? No, my mom throws stuff around all the time when she's mad. Okay. Well, what else was it about that argument? Well, my mom told me that she wished that she would have never had me and that I was a big mistake. Is that, then, what is contributing to your depression? Yeah, that's it. Whenever my mom said that she wished that she never had me, I should have never been born. So it's important then, as I just mentioned, to really ferret out and to see what specifically is it about that adversity, about the activating event which triggered the irrational belief. So next we're going to go to B, belief. Beliefs often consist of rational and irrational beliefs. As we talked in past podcasts, rational beliefs are flexible, preferences, non-extreme, wishes, desires, whereas irrational beliefs are inflexible, rigid, extreme, dogmatic, musts, shoulds, oughts, have to be's. Irrational beliefs consist of a demand plus one of three derivatives, low frustration tolerance, which is often called I can't standitis, awfulizing, and or people rating. So it's important to note that at B, people often have both rational and irrational beliefs. In therapy, whenever I'm talking with somebody and they're talking to me about a specific situation. So again, let's take the example of fight with mother. She told me that I should never have been born. And when we start talking about, well, what are some of the things that you're telling yourself about that? And let's say she says, well, I tell myself that my mom doesn't really mean it, that she gets this way, that that's how she was treated whenever she was a little kid, that that's just the way that she argues with people is by being sarcastic and critical, and that I would really like for my mother to love me, but I can't make her love me. That's a very rational belief. But if she's feeling depressed, and if her behaviors are showing that she's depressed, and both those things are at C, whereas she's staying in bed all day, she's not getting out, she's not going to work, she's crying all the time, she's lost weight because she's not eating, then even though she has that rational belief, she also has an irrational belief about what happened. So in talking to her further, finding out what is the irrational belief about it. Well, I'm telling myself that she's my mother and she should love me. And because she doesn't love me, then that means that I'm not a good daughter, that I must be unlovable, that I'm worthless. It's awful if she didn't love me because mothers should love their children. So that then are the irrational beliefs that is accompanying the A. And whenever you talk with these people in therapy, whenever they come up with rational beliefs and irrational beliefs both, oftentimes whenever you ask them, okay, you're having these two different beliefs, but which one do you believe more strongly? Or which one do you tell yourself more often? Oftentimes they'll honestly admit, well, it's the irrational belief that I'm telling myself more, that I'm telling myself more often, that I more strongly believe. Now C stands for consequence. Consequence consists of both the emotional consequence and the behavioral consequence. We've talked before about how emotions, there can be healthy or unhealthy feelings. Behaviors can either be self-helping or self-defeating behaviors. And so as we are trying to sort out the ABCs and looking at what are some of those irrational beliefs, those self-defeating beliefs, we then look at what are some of the unhealthy feelings that I'm having about this, and some of my self-defeating behaviors that I'm having about this. D stands for disputing. And we're actually going to spend a whole next podcast on disputing because it is really the cornerstone of the REBT system. Disputing consists of questioning, of challenging the irrational belief, of putting the irrational belief on trial. Disputing is done cognitively, emotively, and behaviorally. It's done not only through thinking about more rational things and questioning these things on an intellectual level, but it's also done emotionally in that we vigorously, passionately question these things. Also behaviorally, in that we act against these self-defeating beliefs in an effort to try to prove to ourselves that these beliefs aren't true. And as I said before, the next podcast, the whole podcast is going to be on disputing and how to do that. E stands for the new effect. So after we have successfully disputed the irrational belief, then we come out with an effective new philosophy, which is a rational belief, feelings, which are healthy feelings, and then behavior, which are self-helping rather than self-defeating. It's important to note that the ABCs are actually very complex and that they are interreactional, that the ABCs continually interact with each other. They often overlap. A's significantly influence the B's. B's significantly influence A's and how we perceive the A's. So again, if I have this belief that I'm a no good person, then I may be more apt to perceive things as being proof that I'm no good. Consequences also significantly influence or even create A's. So if I am feeling very sad and depressed, that's going to affect how I perceive the A's. If I'm acting in self-defeating ways, staying in bed all day, not getting out of bed, not going to work, then that's going to create another A for me. Say I lose my job. Well, that's another adversity that has been created by me not getting out of bed, staying home the whole time. So this really isn't a linear model. And I'll have more to say about that whenever I talk about my commentary on the ABC model. So now going back to our example of using the ABC model, the woman who had a fight with her mother, the critical A was, my mother told me that she wished that she never had me, that I never should have been born. She had both rational and irrational beliefs that accompanied that, but the irrational beliefs are really stronger. She had the irrational beliefs of, my mother should love me because she's my mother. Mothers must love their children. Therefore, my mother must love me. And if she doesn't, then that means that I'm no good, that I'm unlovable. It's awful if she doesn't love me. I can't stand it. I wouldn't be able to bear it if she doesn't love me. See, the emotional consequence would be the unhealthy feelings of intense depression and also self-defeating behaviors of staying in bed, not getting up, and going to work. So we would then go to D and help her dispute those self-defeating beliefs. There's a variety of ways of doing that. We'll talk about that in the next podcast, but we'd put those beliefs on trial. Why must your mother love you? Where is, as Ellis likes to say, where is it written? What law of the universe says that all mothers absolutely must or required to love their children? Now, it's preferable. You would like to be loved by your mother. Who wouldn't? But where must it be? Why must she love you? Also, if she doesn't love you, how does that make you a rotten, no good person? How does that make you unlovable, the fact that your mother is saying that she doesn't love you? Last, disputing the awfulizing, even though it's bad that your mother doesn't love you, that's disappointing, that's sad, how is it the worst thing ever? We would then help her pick out what are some self-helping behaviors. So rather than staying in bed, pulling the sheets over your head and causing more misery for yourself, what could you do that would be helpful for you? Let's say she says, well, I could get up, take a shower, and go into work, even though I feel rotten. Then asking her, what types of healthy feelings would you like to have? So a healthy feeling in this case would be sadness, that her mother has told her that she doesn't love her, that she doesn't have the type of relationship with her mother that she would like to have. So the healthy feeling would be sadness, whereas the unhealthy feeling is depression. Or maybe the healthy feeling of being irritated, frustrated with my mother that she is treating me this way. Whereas the unhealthy feeling would be intense rage, wanting to enact revenge on her or other people in my life. So that's an example of how we would fit a specific situation into the ABC model. Now I'd like to give you a little commentary on my thoughts of the ABC model and how I use this in my own psychotherapy practice. First, the ABC model, as I mentioned before, has undergone many revisions since it was first introduced in 1955, I believe, in 1958 maybe, by Dr. Albert Ellis. And some of these revisions, to me, don't really make a whole lot of sense. At one point, Dr. Ellis had E, new effective philosophy, F, new feeling. I also heard from one author where he then had a G, which is, what is your new goal? What is your behavior that you're going to do to try to help you instill these new rational beliefs? Other authors have also added to the ABC model, in particular Dr. Dryden, who has tried to clarify the ABC model. He talked about the critical A, which I think is a very important concept. Also, in his writings, Dr. Dryden stresses that the inference goes with the A. So, therefore, as we talked in the last podcast, gave the example of the cell phone commercial. The guy calls his girlfriend up on the cell phone, tells her, "I love you, you're the only one for me." The call gets dropped, he gets cut off, he doesn't know that he's cut off, and he's waiting for a response for her and doesn't get one. And so then he starts to infer, he starts to assume, to conclude, that she doesn't feel the same way that I do. Dr. Dryden would stress that all those things go with the A. I called her, I told her I loved her, I care about her, she didn't respond back to me, and also the inference, therefore she doesn't love me the way that I love her. Dr. Dryden says then that the B consists of the rational and irrational beliefs. And often whenever you go to REBT trainings for therapists, they'll teach you to work on disputing the B rather than disputing the A. So work on disputing the evaluation first, and then work on disputing the inference. Now all that's fine and good whenever you're talking with therapists that are really into this stuff, and we want to be nitpicky and sort everything out. But whenever you're talking with a client who comes in, to me what started off as something the ABC model is trying to be very simple, understandable, has unfortunately become something that is more and more complex. As Dr. Ellis has tried to squeeze more things into the ABC model, with other theorists coming in and adding more things to the ABC model, which again is good for therapists who want to learn and utilize these things, but I think can be confusing for clients who come in that are just wanting something to help them. So to me, I think it gets confusing whenever you say, B stands for beliefs, which sounds like a very cognitive thing. A stands for activating event, which sounds like a very external thing, or at least a more objective thing. And then to say, well, the inference, that goes with the A as well. I think that can be very confusing. So in my own practice, then, often whenever I'm presenting the ABC model, I say the A is what happened, B is what you thought about what happened, and then C is the consequence, the feelings and the behavior about what happened. In my own practice, a lot of times I just lump the inferences and the evaluations together with the B. I think it's important, though, that the client know the difference between those things. Often I don't use the word inference whenever I'm doing therapy. I might say your assumptions about what happened or your conclusion about what happened. But then we also talk about what are the irrational beliefs that you had about what happened, or in therapy I prefer to call them self-defeating beliefs about what happened. Also in the ABC model, A, activating event, B, belief, C stands for consequence. That sounds like a very linear model. And Ellis has, in his more recent writings, has discussed how it's interactional, how the C's can influence the A's and become A's and influence the B's, and that it's really all those things overlap and influence each other. So in my own practice then, I prefer to use Podinsky's five-factor model. So I'm going to just briefly discuss that. It consists of a cross. I want you to try to imagine this the best that you can. And at each point of the cross are four different things. Thinking is at one point. Feelings is at another point. Behavior is at the third point. Physiology is at the fourth point. Then, to draw arrows between each of these things. So there's an arrow between thinking and feelings, between feelings and behavior, between behavior and physiology. Also, the cross then has arrows on it, so that thinking influences behavior, feelings, and physiology, to stress that all these things interact with and relate to each other. Then to draw a big circle around that and to say that's what's happening within the individual, and then on the outside of the circle, the fifth thing being the environment. So there's things that go on outside of my environment that affects me as an individual, but also I have all these other things going on within me that affects me. So in RBT, we look at focusing on all four of those components, or actually all five of those components. The environment, how can we problem solve to try to make that better? But also, more importantly, how can I change my thinking so to be able to make it more self-helping rather than self-defeating? How can I have healthy feelings rather than unhealthy feelings? How can I have self-helping behaviors rather than self-defeating behaviors? And then physiology, all these things are held on physiological component, and RBT recognizes that some people are more genetically predisposed toward certain conditions, that they may need medication to help them with that component in addition to the RBT practice. So that's a model that I often present to clients rather than the ABC model. Also, whenever I'm talking with people in therapy, rather than using the ABC model, oftentimes we'll just put four columns down and we'll say, okay, in the first column, what happened? And that is just objective reality. If someone were sitting and watching you, what would they see? Well, my mom and me arguing. My mom telling me that she wished that she would have never had me. That would go under the situation, the first column. The second column, thought. So what were you telling yourself? And that includes the inferences and evaluations. Then feeling column, how were you feeling? And we look at what are the unhealthy feelings, and then behavior. What are some of the self-defeating actions that you're doing in addition to all these other things? Not to say that it's a linear thing as much as it's a way to break down each component in the situation to be able to look at these and analyze this a little bit better. So I hope that helps to explain the ABC model. As I said before, you go into a bookstore and pick up an RBT book. Unfortunately, if you look at the ABC model, there may be some discrepancies between books on some of these concepts. If there's an F added in there, if there's a G added in there, if there's a some other letter added in there, what exactly goes into what compartment? To me, it's not so important as to where each thing goes. If you want to put inferences in B with the beliefs, great. I think it's important that you understand the difference between inferences and evaluations. If you want to put the inference in with the A, great. Whatever is helpful for you in helping you to analyze your own A, B's, and C's so that you can start working on those things, disputing on those things, so that you can have more healthy emotions and more helpful actions. So I hope this was helpful to you in trying to understand the ABC model. Also, as I've discussed before in the next podcast, we're going to talk about disputing, one of my favorite subjects, and really is the meat and potatoes of REBT. Also, please come to my website, rebt-cbt.net. All right, thank you for joining me. See you next time.